I'm so excited, as mentioned, to be bringing you the message this morning. So if you don't know who I am or if you're just joining us to service, I wanted to let you know my name is Andre Mansour, one of the pastors here at Hope Chapel. I have the honor of being the young adults pastor as well as the executive director of operation here. I'm so happy to know that the Lord has this message for you. Today, we're simply going to be talking about the Believer's Guide to Ministry. That's the title of our message. I believe that there's something to be said to people that do not know where God has for them when it comes to ministry. And today, I just want to share with you what that looks like. I want to share with you what that feels like. But before even doing so, I think it's very important for you to get to know a little bit about me, to get to know about how I got to know I'm supposed to be in ministry. I'm not saying that this is how you're going to figure it out, but I believe that in sharing my testimony with you, I believe in sharing my story with you, you'll be able to relate somehow, you'll be able to see how God works, and maybe it will be something encouraging to you. I hope it is. And so want to take you back a couple of years ago, actually 2012, I first attended the college group here. It was called Vision Young Adults or Vision College Group, and it was led by Pastor Mike Sanders. And when attending there, I was invited to join them for their yearly retreat up in Camp Cedar Crest. If you haven't been there, it is a wonderful place to be, especially during the winter time. Went up there, had a wonderful experience, and during one of the nights, just during worship, the Holy Spirit was just moving. He was very heavy, and I was so grateful to be there because I actually was a business major, and I was going to school. I was 5 units away from moving on to my upper classes to finish off my business degree, business administration. But that night, when I was there in worship, I felt the Lord just get a hold of me. It was weird. It was the weirdest thing ever. I felt like it was just me and God. And he said this to me. He said, Andre, I want you to know that you're done working for the world. Starting today, you're going to work for me. And that was crazy. To me, that was mind-blowing because I did not know what that meant. I was confused. It was my first time hearing the voice of God. It was the first time that I heard something so great and something so calming, something so comforting. And of course, I went to my pastors, my leaders, and I said, this is what I heard. And they confirmed it. They affirmed me. And the process happened once I came back off the mountain. I started applying. And then next thing I knew, I was accepted into Life Pacific College, now Life Pacific University. The Lord made a way for me to just go to Bible college. And he took care of finances because finances were not that great for me. And he just took me one step at a time and showed me what ministry would look like. And so I said that so that I can kind of get you excited about today's message. This is what I want to talk to you about today. Not your ultimate calling from God, because I can't say to you, hey, this is what you're called to do. But I can tell you that we have a reason to be here. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, you know very well, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Who did he say that to? Who was Jesus speaking to? As you know, he was speaking to his disciples, right? And as a believer, as a Christian, as a person that said, Lord, you are my Savior, you are Lord over my life, I am now a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I can boldly say that that right there applies to us. The Great Commission applies to you and me. And that brings me to the whole entire sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It says this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in his suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So point number one for this message, realizing your role. What is your role? What is your role as a disciple of Christ? Well, I can tell you one that I'm very confident of. It's to be a minister. Some of you may say, well, hold on. Isn't being a minister same as like receiving a calling over my life from God to be like a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist? I say, no, let's take a look at the word minister so that we can fully understand what it means. So minister in Latin is the same word. It's minister. But it also means a servant. And what I love about this is that as a minister of the gospel, you get to be a servant to people around you. One thing some of you may know about me is that I was born and raised in Egypt. I was raised there. I lived there for 11 years of my life. My family and I moved to California in 2002, and that's where we've been since then. But one thing that I learned about ministers in Egypt is that they don't like to be called pastors. They don't like to be called reverends. They don't like to be called ministers either. What they actually call themselves, what the title of a minister or a preacher is, simply this: it's the servant of God. And in Arabic, if you look at the word minister and servant, they are the same word. They're just pronounced differently. Ready to learn some Arabic? All right, I'm going to try this out. Can you say khadim? I know, it requires a little bit of phlegm over here. Just don't spit on the person next to you, please. Wear a mask if you're going to. Say khadim. That means servant. A servant. Or a minister. So a khadim is a person who ministers to people, a person who can preach the gospel, a person who is able to have a place, an anointing over his life, but at the same time also knows the reality of that position of ministry, a servant. Many times I talk to my young adults and I tell them this: if you want to be fully involved in a life of ministry, it starts with realizing one thing, and that's you have to accept the fact that you need to find joy in the small things like scrubbing toilets, doing the nasty things that nobody else wants to do. Because it all goes back to Jesus. When he came to earth, he did not have a platform that's preset, and he always sat on a stage on a Sunday morning and just had people know him because he was this great son of God. No, he walked around and he served people. Jesus did so much to the community around him. He did so much to the crowds around him. He served people. He was a servant. He was a minister. Jesus cared. His heart was for the people. We know that for a fact that he came to do the biggest ministry of them all, to die on the cross for you and me. He did what no man would want to do. He chose the cross. He chose death over life so that you and I can have life eternal with God the Father. I want you to look at 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 11. And it says this: The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so if we look here at verse 11, we see that a person that is ordained to speak, a person that is given something to say from God, say, let him speak. Whoever serves, whoever wants to serve, let him serve. I learned early on in my days of ministry that if somebody offers to serve me, to do something for me, I should not say, no, 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 don't do it. Because guess what? I am robbing them of blessings. I'm taking away blessings from them. I come from a country where it's all about honoring and respecting others. And receiving blessings, sometimes hard. Sometimes it's hard to say thank you because we don't want people to do good for us because we feel like it's too much for them. They're sacrificing. But I learned very quickly when I came here that it's okay to receive blessings because that person that is blessing me will be blessed back. And what I'm here to tell you is that you should be looking for that. You should be looking to how to bless people. Not because you're going to receive so much back. You will. I promise you that. But we shouldn't do it for the reward. We should do it as an act of obedience because we were asked to minister and to serve one another. So that leads me to my second point, gearing up for a minister's life. So you realize now that you're supposed to minister to people, to serve others. You kind of have to do mental preparation before you just go out there and serve because it can get daunting. So how do we prepare? How do we prepare to serve? How do we gear up to have that life of ministry? Well, first, you have to learn how to pray. You have to know how to pray. And second, it's kind of given, but you need to know who you're praying to. You need to know and understand that when you pray to God, that you pray to the Father. You're not praying to anything else around you. You're praying to God the Father. And understand that he has an ear to hear, that he's not just sitting there and sometimes sending you over to voicemail when that prayer comes in. So prayer life is very important. Two, discipline, especially when it comes to reading your Bible. Discipline to your daily walk with God. Ability to say no to things that you know are not okay. Next, knowing that you will most likely get rejected. You will most likely feel neglected. You will most likely be let down by people. Matthew 10, starting verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go now among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than that of your own. So what is being said over here? What did Jesus tell his disciples when he sent them out? He said, when you go somewhere, when you start doing things that are more work for you, that people will realize you're taking an extra time of your day to do. Do not expect pay. Do not look for them to give you money. Do not assume that they're going to do something great in return. But you go and heal the sick. You go and speak life. You go and cleanse the lepers. You go and you cast out demons. And you do it for free. Because the rewards that we get on earth are temporary. But the rewards that we have in heaven are worth so much more. And then when you go into someone's home, if you feel peace, you bless that home, and you let your peace be on that home. If you go into a home and you feel that there's no peace in it, you make sure you still have that peace in you. So when you're gearing up to that life as a minister, as a servant for God, I want you to know that what you should expect is to see miracles. It's for God to work through you so that miracles will come. So back when I said all these steps of things to prepare for, things to know how to do. Prayer, I say it's good to know how to pray because you best believe that when you're serving others, sometimes the best thing you can do for them is a simple prayer. And I'm not saying there's a bad prayer, there's a great prayer, and you need to be up here. No, I'm saying that it's good to know how to pray. It's good to know and be bold and confident in your prayer. Because when we're bold and confident in our prayers, the enemy, when he tries to come and speak lies, we're able to still stand firm in our prayers and say, no, I'm speaking faith, and I'm speaking in the name of Jesus, and I'm believing that this will happen. I'm believing that the dead will rise, the lepers will be healed. I'm believing for miracles. So when the more we pray, the more we condition ourselves to know how to pray and be bold. That leads me to my next point. Point three, pushing through the obstacles. I wish I can say ministry is easy. I wish I can say being a servant of God, you'll never experience anything harsh. You'll never come across people that are mean. You'll never come across people that just want nothing but harm. I got to tell you one thing. It's not the people. Please listen to this. It's not the person who's causing you harm. It's the spirit that's upon that person that is causing harm or wanting to cause harm. Okay, do we recognize what that is? It's not the person. It's the spirit that is on the person that wants to cause harm. I want you to hold on to 1 John 4:19-20 dearly. Many of you know it. It says, we love because he first, what? Because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, then he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And you know, sometimes in serving others, they might not react the way you want them to. They might not just be as grateful as you would hope that they are. They might not be as cheerful. They might not say all the right words that you were hoping for them to say. And when that happens, guard your heart, guard your mind so that you don't start feeling in a negative way towards them, so that you don't start thinking negatively about them. Guard your heart. Guard your mind so that you can still love your brother. Man, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a crisis. And I was talking to some people this last week, and I told them this. I said, in the middle of this pandemic, we're really learning how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Through sacrifice. And so maybe you're listening to me, and the one part of ministry that you still have not done yet is to learn how to love your neighbor as you love yourselves. And I'm believing that the statement I'm about to make will move things around in your mind. It might compel some of you. But I'm believing that this is something that the Lord has for you and you need to hear. Many people on social media, many people around our town, Huntington Beach is getting to be known as the biggest town of those who are choosing not to wear a mask. I get it. I wear glasses too. It's really foggy up here when you wear a mask. I get it. It's hard. I get it. You can't breathe. I get it. You can't talk. I get it. We feel like it's the government trying to set us up for something else. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm trying to say. When I hear the words of God repeating over and over and over and over and over and over in my head, love your neighbor as you love yourself, how much are you willing to sacrifice to save yourself? I want to be clear here. I'm not with any kind of agenda. What I'm trying to say is that God is truly leading me to say this. And for some of us, we might need that wake-up call. Because if we say, you know what, we're believers, we're Christians, and you cannot mask me up, I want you to think about the elderly person that lives next door, the elderly person that you walk by in the grocery store. Maybe you have not known people that have had that virus or people that have passed away from this virus. But it doesn't make it fake. And I'm not trying to turn this sermon into the coronavirus talk, no. But I'm simply taking what God is choosing to say to his people, to you, to say we need to be mindful. We need to be able to love one another. We need to be able to love our neighbor. He didn't say some neighbors. He said love your neighbors. That's enough of that. I think we get the point. Examine your heart. 1 Peter 4:12 through 19 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when this glory appears. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Something's bound to happen when we obey the word of God, right? You've experienced it, right? You've experienced it. I've experienced it. We've experienced it. There's something to be said about pushing through. I like that it says over here, let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or as even what? As a meddler. He's saying don't meddle with things. Don't kind of test it. There's no reason to just test the waters, see how it is on the other side. Don't even go there. Make sure your path is straight. Make sure your sight is set on God. Make sure that God is your focal point, not the world. I want you to be able to say, you know what? I want to love everyone, no matter what they say, and no word, no action will be able to just veer me away from the love of God that I get to share with people. How exciting would that be? I strive for that. Here's the truth. I have failed. I failed. And it's okay for me to say that I failed, because I know in my weakness, Christ strengthens me. It's okay for me to show that I'm weak. My last point, passing on the torch. So you've been doing ministry. So you've learned to do ministry. You've been a servant of the Lord. You've been a chedem all this time. And you've done well. You're not done when you just pass away. No. I believe that we have the responsibility of teaching others how to be servants of the Lord as well. Matthew 25, starting verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will be separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did you see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" Isn't that so awesome to hear? Just gotta say, let it be known, I'd rather be a sheep than a goat. Just saying, no need to be the greatest of all time. I'm okay being just a meek sheep. I hope that kind of resonates with you. So right now I want you to start thinking. Maybe you need to write it down, take out like your notes app, or write it on your notepad, wherever you're able to write something. How will you one day pass on the torch? How will you one day teach others how to be servants, how to be faithful servant of Christ? Again, I want you to remember, this is not a message about your calling to be a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet. No. This is just simply a message about how you're to be a servant of the Lord, to serve others, to do what God is wanting you to do. So how will you pass on that torch? What steps are you going to take? Who are you going to teach? If you're a parent, teach your children. Grandparent, teach your grandchildren. If you have any influence over people that are especially younger than you, do so. You're able to teach people in public places on how to do good without having to force scripture onto them. They'll understand that it's coming from a good source. And that's when you say, you know, the person that taught me how to do good, his name is Jesus. Maybe you'll get a salvation right out of that. Maybe some of you that have been listening to this message have not had a relationship with Christ yet, have not been saved, have not gotten to that place where you can simply say, yeah, I think I know where I'm going to go after I die. Maybe you're confused, but this sounded good to you, that you want to serve people. Maybe you have the heart of serving. Maybe today's the day that you get the opportunity to just say, Lord, you be my Savior. You be my Lord. And so I want to pray that with you today. Maybe it's that heart that you have, that you've been waiting for an opportunity to just go and do something. Maybe you've been sitting here all along. Maybe you've been waiting for years saying, God, I know you say you have something for me. I don't know what it is. Maybe today was it. You get to realize, I just need to serve people. I just need to serve people. We have a ministry here at Hope Chapel called Brown Bags Ministry. And they put together brown bags. They look like this. Very simple. Very simple. And I love what this ministry does and stands for. This ministry is out there so that those who don't have much, those who don't have anything, will still be able to receive some kind of nourishment. And not just that, but inside it, there's also a tract that gets to tell them about the love of Christ. I'm so grateful for Sean and Crystal Hersey for leading that ministry. They get to love on people, even though they're not the ones that pass out every single bag. And so maybe you've heard of this ministry at Hope Chapel, or maybe this sounds like something interesting for you. Why don't you come and try it out? We're going to be passing out these bags. We're going to have them available. Maybe you can make your own bags. Simply, all that's in here is water and non-perishable food items. That's all it is. Simple as that. And a couple of notes in there that just talk about Jesus. You can put that together at your own home. And maybe that could be how you start serving your community, serving the least of these. Before I end, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. But first, I do want to pray with you. So if you say, I have not had that relationship with Christ. If you say, I don't have that place, that confidence, I don't have that knowledge that I will make it to heaven. Or maybe I have not been doing the best, kind of backtracked. My relationship is not as solid as it used to be. I want to pray with you. So would you close your eyes? You can repeat after me out loud, or you can whisper it. Maybe you're in a place where you don't feel confident with those around you to kind of know where you're at. It's okay. Just close your eyes. I encourage all of you to close your eyes. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for another opportunity to have life with you. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to remove all the dark and negative things that have happened and I've done. And I believe that you are the risen Savior. You died on the cross and you rose again, that I would be saved and have eternal life with you. Dear Jesus, I know your love for me is great, and I pray that you would change my heart, that you would give me a heart of servant, so that I would live this life giving glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Then I want to pray for you. Maybe you feel like you've been listening to this and the Lord has been moving on your heart and you say, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to be a servant. I'm ready to be a minister. I want to be a chedem. Let's pray for that. Because I'm believing that it all has to start somewhere. It all has to start at a certain point in time. So would you pray this with me? Father, I thank you for the heart of minister that you have instilled in me. And Lord God, I pray that from this day forward, I would be able to go forth and be bold in my love for people and those around me. Lord, I thank you that you are continuing to still work in me, but you're also giving me the ability to work with others and for others so that I can love on them, so that I can show them your love and mercies. And God, I pray that when I am faced with obstacles and hardship, that you would rescue me and I would know how to pray and how to stand firm and how to believe that you are and you have been and you will always be the overcomer for all my problems. Jesus, from this day forward, I dedicate my heart to serve you, to serve the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Friends, I'm so excited, especially if you got to pray one of those two prayers. And if you did, would you please let us know? Would you write us a simple email to office@hopechapelhb.org? We want to hear from you. We want to hear if you decided to follow Jesus today. Or maybe if you prayed the second prayer, where you decided to commit your life to a life of ministry, to become a minister. Because you never know. You never know when that other calling will come and the Lord will put on your heart something even greater than that. But we all start somewhere, right? And so I want to thank you for watching today's service. I want to pray this over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift you up. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you for watching today. God bless you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.